This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Let's talk about pets, baby. Let's talk about ticks and fleas. All the fun things that we see. Smart tips and tricks guaranteed.
Welcome to another episode of Let's Talk About Pets. I'm the only monster you'd actually invite to brunch. I'm your host, Nessie. I'm not solo today. I do have a special guest with me. I met her on TikTok. Everyone, welcome Aaliyah. She's a licensed veterinary technician in the field for 3 years. She's also an Army veteran. She's now a pre-vet student with a passion for helping out other hopefuls to study and prepare for the VTNE. It's a licensing exam for veterinary technicians. Everybody, let's say hi to Aaliyah.
Oh, hi. It's so nice being here. I'm so honored. Thank you so much for having me on the show today.
I'm so glad I found you on TikTok with all of your VTNE prep. It's been so helpful for me now that I'm on my own journey for the VTNE. So I want to thank you for putting that content out.
Yes, you're welcome. Anybody that wants to learn about anything, they could come to my page.
So today we're going to dive into what it's really like going through school, prepping for jobs in vet medicine, and how that journey is different for everybody, really. I do want to start with a fun fact. Are you ready for a fun fact?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready for a fun fact.
So according to Data USA, in 2022, there was 149,000 technicians and technologists, which technicians are the ones with an associate degree, while the technologists are the one with the bachelor's degree in the workforce. 88.6% of them were women and the average age of 32 years old. How do you feel about those stats?
You know, I could believe it. I can believe it. I hate to say it, but I think we are a little bit more empathetic. I can believe that.
No, I can agree. Women are more empathetic. Let's leave it there.
A few moments later.
We'll leave it right there. So, what actually got you into veterinary medicine?
Honestly, I know it's a little cliche, but I've always loved animals. I've always loved animals. Even when I got bit in the head as a child, I had to get stitches. It was a Rottweiler. I remember this like it was yesterday. Right. But what really pushed me into that is realizing how much I wanted to understand them. Not just care for them, but actually be a voice for them. Because, you know, sometimes I feel like dogs, cats, they get a bad rep. And it's not because they're bad or they're just mad and angry. I feel like we just need to understand their behavior. And that's what I want to do.
I think a lot of people don't take the time to figure out behavior now. In fact, I've probably brought it up on here before, but some of the animal TikTok trends that I've seen where the people are getting in their dog's faces to like bark at them or something make me so nervous because I read that body language on the dog and be like, they're uncomfortable.
And they just laughing away. I'm like, oh, one bad day. Gosh, that could be your finger.
How old were you when this happened, when you got bit in the head?
Oh, I was 10. I was 10 when this happened. And my mom told me not to run away. But, you know, as a kid, you see a big, scary dog, you're going to run away. And that's exactly what I did. And I got bit in the head. But yes, I don't know what happened to the dog after that. I can't remember that. I just remember going to the hospital and having to get stitches in my head.
Was it a neighborhood dog? Did you guys know the person who owned the dog?
No, we didn't. It just came out of nowhere. We was actually at the bus stop and it just came from out the woods somewhere. I don't remember if it had a collar on or anything. I just remember it was chasing me and I was trying to run, but I wasn't fast enough.
No, it's real hard to outrun a dog.
City.
Wow. I'm real sorry that happened.
It's all right. It's okay. We're here now. You know, I don't hold a grudge towards the dog.
That's good that you don't. A lot of times that's all it takes for someone to decide that they want nothing to do with animals in general. So
right.
I'm glad you took that as a learning experience.
Yes, it was definitely an experience.
I would like to start us out with a review. I was thinking we would look at some reviews of veterinary hospitals. I'm not going to name the actual hospitals just because I'm not trying to put them on blast. So we're going to just say a hospital in a city or something like that. I also usually like to have a theme for the names that I say the reviews are from. So I thought I would let you pick what our theme would be.
It could be any theme.
Mm-hmm. As long as it has a couple of different characters that we can pick from.
Okay. Let's do a cartoon. I love cartoons.
I love cartoons.
Let's do SpongeBob.
Okay. You do SpongeBob.
Welcome to the Salty Spittoon. How tough are you?
How tough am I? The mite. I had a bowl of nails for breakfast this morning.
So, all right. So my first review I have here is going to be from SpongeBob himself.
Hep, hep.
Boo.
Hep, hep.
Boo.
Hep, hep.
Boo.
Hep, hep.
Boo, you stink.
It is for a veterinary hospital in New Orleans, and it is a 1-star review. The grooming experience is horrible. I can't believe my experience. It's like a child groomed my dog. I believe I would have done better myself with no experience.
Did she put a picture of the dog in there?
I wish they did. But here's the thing. I'm a previous groomer. I know how hard grooming a dog can be. So when I hear people say, I could have done it myself, why didn't you? Go do it and then come talk to me.
Because they don't understand that the wiggliness and the grumpiness and the growling and moving, it's a lot when you're trying to groom. Oh, man.
Do you have experience, I'm sure, with like toenails and stuff like that?
Oh, gosh. Yay. Yes. We have patients come back to us and say, they're not short enough. I was like, okay. Well,
to explain the quick of the nail to the... Like, let me pull your cuticle back and see if you like that. You can tell me, yeah.
Oh, so many experiences.
I just wish I knew what this dog came home looking like so I can decide whether a child did it or not. You know?
Me too.
Did you have your 10-year-old at work with you that day and you're like, here, go play with these clippers?
I really wish I could have seen that. Man, SpongeBob, you should have left the picture.
Yeah, we need more details before we can decide if you're in the right or not, SpongeBob.
Exactly.
What's your current school look like? What kind of courses and labs are you taking? Are you doing any internships right now?
Right now, I'm at Arizona State University. I am getting my bachelor's degree online. Mm-hmm. It's super flexible, which requires a whole bunch of discipline because it's times where I just want to be like, you know what? I don't need to do this chemistry lab today. But I've done like a lot of labs in person as well because, you know, you need organic chemistry in person, biochemistry in person. It's tough. It is tough. And no 2 days are the same. Especially when you're trying to juggle exams. And I haven't applied to internships yet, but I will soon. I'm planning to apply at the aquarium and the zoo. Those are my two that I want to do. We actually have a wildlife center, and I'm going to try to apply for that one as well.
Those are great places to apply. I think working with dogs and cats are fun, but I always wonder about like the wild side of things, like anesthesia on a tiger, I think would be a lot fun. So I hope that you get into one of those internships. That sounds like a great time. You'll have to see me posted.
I definitely will. I will.
What has been one of your biggest surprise or challenge so far being in school?
I guess juggling all these classes at once because I'm trying to fast track my degree. So I've been taking 8-week courses of chemistry, 8-week courses of biology. Yes, I knew it was going to be hard academically, but I didn't, you know, expect it to be this hard.
Right. Are you working full time?
Now I'm part time.
I don't know how you would have been able to fit in full time with 8-week courses.
Oh, gosh, I wouldn't have made it. That's why I was like, let me just go ahead and do part-time, and it's been working for me.
I do know that it takes a lot of discipline to do online courses because I'm doing Penn Foster online, and there are the times where I'm like, I kind of just want to binge this show on Netflix with my husband and I can get to this cool thing, you know, another day. I earned it, you know?
Right. I always say I earn it. I will be like, okay, I'll look with this long enough. That's enough.
Yes. My eyes are crossed. I need a break. Their break turns into like, I don't know, 2 hours. My husband will be like, are you going to get back to your schoolwork or are you just kind of done for the night? You know?
And I'll always be like, I'm done for the night.
I have like my laptop out thinking like so that it looks like, oh, yeah, I'm going to get back to it. And then I'll be like, yeah, no, I'm not going to get back to
it. Gary, you are going to finish your dessert and you are going to like it.
Hey, at least we tried.
Right. That's the important thing. Do you have a favorite class right now?
Oh,
no. What about out of all the ones you've taken so far? Do you have any that stand out to you?
Yes. I'm taking veterinary medicine today. And honestly, I love this class. It's teaching me about the ins and outs of applying and doing the application process. Also about tuition. Tuition is high for vet school, especially if you want to do out of state, because I was looking at University of Arizona. So I've been looking into schools like that, and they give you a whole list. They give you resources. And I think this is my favorite so far. And only thing that we have to do is discussions. So, you know, I love that. Anything that don't require me to think that much, I love it.
Give your brain a little break. I could discuss something all day long. Do you prefer the online classes as opposed to taking them in person then? Do you feel like you're learning the same, if not better, online?
I like the online classes just because of the freedom. It is fast paced, I'm not going to lie. Does it retain? No, it doesn't retain as much as I would like it to. But I think if I would see it on a daily basis, I could be like, okay, that's like, speaking for chemistry, that's hydrogen. Okay, I know that. Or that's sulfur. I feel like that's part of me retaining, but all the math and things like that, mm-mm. But my veterinarian medicine class, oh yeah, I'm retaining everything from that. I think it's just becomes what we're going to need in veterinarian medicine. That sticks more than chemistry and biology. But I do like the freedom of the online classes.
That's a great answer. I think working in a clinic has been more helpful to me than taking classes online. Like, for example, when I've taken some practice VT&E questions, when it comes to large animal questions, I'm probably going to get it wrong. Because I've been next to a horse twice in my life, and that's the extent of a large animal that I have, you know? And that was horseback riding as a kid. So that doesn't... And so when it's things that pertain to things I see every day in the clinic, dogs, cats, that kind of deal, I'm confident, I know the answer, and I'm not gonna think another thing about it, I'm gonna move on. But you asked me something about a cow or a goat, and I had a panic.
Right. And the thing about the VT&E, it's like you never know what you're gonna get. And that's what's scary, I think, for a lot of people. It was scary for me as well. I guess the best advice is to try to learn the most common things about the large animals. Like for horses, you know, you always get your blood from the jugular vein. And like maybe some common diseases, like we know that horses can't throw up.
That is so funny because that's what I have a real short quiz at the end of this. And you answered one question. It was like, which animal can't throw up? Did you?
Oh, I did it. Well, we got one more animal that can't throw up, so.
Yeah, that's so funny. Let's do another review. Are you ready? This is going to be from our good friend Patrick.
All right. Which one of you flat foot stole my lollipop?
So this is going to take us on a journey. All right. This is also a New Orleans veterinary hospital. And so it starts with a simple review, then a response from the owner, which prompted a response from the reviewer with a little more aggression.
Oh, man. I'm ready. So pretty.
This review from Patrick is 1 star. People on the phone are rude and unhelpful. That was it. That was the original review. They responded. They used the person's name, Patrick, It is extremely unfair of you to leave us such a bad review given the circumstances of your visit, in quotation. When you came on Saturday, you had no appointments and our technician went above and beyond to get you all accommodated. Not only were you rude to our staff because we couldn't keep your pet, you abandoned your dog in our parking lot, which is very next to a busy street. Luckily, we were able to save him and find a wonderful family to care after him. Now, that sounds like a situation. Well, Patrick responds, I do not have a dog. What? I called you about a cat with a growth on its ankle. The young lady on the phone kept giggling. I told her it was rude and she hung up on me. How dare you come after me on a public forum and try to put me or anybody on blast? You got cameras outside of your business. How much you want to bet that whoever left that dog was not me? Remove your comments. I do not need an apology from you. Just do better.
Oh my God. Is that not some tea?
That is. And my cup is full.
Oh.
Oh my gosh.
Putting someone on blast for something they didn't do. Patrick said, get your cameras out and try again.
Yes, that was not me. Wrong guy. Oh my God.
For number one, I have a cat. So. I think the audacity for a business to come and argue with you in the reviews is just unprofessional.
It's so unprofessional. Oh my goodness. Well, we know how they run their business.
I know how people can get under your skin, right? I guess. And it seems like an art form these days. They just find that button. But you need to look past it because you don't know what's going on in that person's home life to make them be that way. You gotta not assume that they have negative intent at all times. You know, you just gotta feel like you're reading into the situation wrong. But I couldn't. I just couldn't imagine.
Patrick, I know you would never spend another dollar there. And we just
understood you. Yeah. But if there was somebody who just released their dog in the parking lot and took off, that person needs to have a meeting.
Yeah. That deserves that response, but maybe not online where everybody can see it.
Don't do that. That's so nobody else knew this.
And the person probably, Sandy or Squirt was probably reading it, was like, oh, that was me that left the talk.
Do better.
That one was some tea. That was some tea. Good gracious.
Did you pass the VT any the first time?
No, I failed it the first time. And I cried. I thought I was never going to do it again. But I ended up doing it again. And I'm glad I did.
Glad you did, too. Was your original idea to get the VTNE B certified and stop there? Or were you always planning to eventually become pre-vet?
I was always planning to become pre-vet. That's my lifelong dream. I feel like I need to go ahead and accomplish it. I already been to Iraq, so I might as well go ahead and try to do this as well.
Right. Was having the VTNE, is it to help you look better to get into vet school? They're going to be like, oh, she's already got all this experience as a certified technician.
Honestly, I've been seeing a lot of people's stats on TikTok. And I think just getting some animal experience, I don't think that you have to be certified or licensed. I just like having that title. But I think just having experience will get you in the door. They only qualify like for 300, maybe 500 hours. Just being and working around animals, I feel like will get you in.
What is your favorite part about working in a clinic setting?
My favorite parts. I guess it's so hard to choose because I love everything. But my favorite is puppy vaccines. Oh, I love the puppies. They are so cute. And I know it's a little weird, but I love the puppy breath. Everybody gets the puppy breath, but I love this. It's like an acquired smell. But I love coming in there. They're just full of kisses and love. Don't know what's going on. And it's so easy to give them their vaccines because they're so easily distracted.
You just smush a little treat on the table and they don't even know what happened.
At all. They might feel a little bee, but you know, it's all cuddles and kisses from there.
Puppy visits are a lot of fun. I really like, and this is a niche thing. Not a lot of people could say the same. I like the client interaction part of it just because I enjoy being able to participate in the education part, like helping things they don't know. And I like that we also take some of that off of the doctors now, that AI technicians do more of the education part of things. But I like being able to sit down and have that talk with them. I tend to specialize with the more sensitive clients that, yeah, the ones that other people might be a little more scared of. I like to take them on as a personal responsibility.
I understand that. You know what? I never thought about that, but I think I kind of like that too. I do.
And I make the worst jokes when I'm in the room with them. And I know they're not good. Like when I am discharging a cat or something, like the last part is like, and the most important thing that I want you to take away from our discharge today is no swimming or bathing for your cat for the next 10 to 14 days. I know how much cats love water. And the owner, she looked at me like I was maybe not the smartest person. And she was like, my cat hates water. And I was like, yeah, that was kind of the joke. That is also why I'm in vet medicine, not a comedian. Because, you know, my jokes don't always land. But
it's okay because we understand it. Vet man professional to vet man professional. We understand all the jokes.
Yeah. So I do try out my material in the rooms. Whether it hits or not, I know for later. But, you know, it's the perfect place for me to practice. So
I love it.
This episode of Let's Talk About Pets is being brought to you by...
Begging to hear more of your favorite show? Full episodes of all our shows are available on demand. Go to PetLifeRadio.com to fetch our entire lineup of Possum Pet Podcasts. Also, dig us up in iHeartRadio and iTunes. Let's Talk Pets. Live and on demand, only from Pet Life Radio.
Let's Talk Pets.
Let's Talk Pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
A few moments later.
Do you have any tips for us for surviving school and balancing a busy life?
Yes. The one thing that's helped me is setting boundaries with school, with work, even with my friends. I have really had to learn how to say no to certain things. Like my friend wanted to go out to dinner. I had to put the dinner on pause and get to my studying, because I'm not saying that I get straight A's, but that's what I aim to do. So sometimes I have to learn to say no. And I guess you can't underestimate the power of a planner, right?
Yes, I love a good planner. And I might still even do paper ones, except for I lose it all the time. So I use my phone, but they're not nearly as fun as the paper planners.
I know. I have a Galaxy, and I just like being one of those girlies with the matching case, the matching little pen thing. And that just makes me feel like I'm doing something important. So I love a piano.
I have this little flip phone Samsung. So I did it because I was like, oh, I want to be one of the cool kids with the smart flip phone. Don't do it. Don't cheat.
How is that working out?
I had to get it replaced twice within 2 years.
There's not.
Because it only has so many flips before the screen will just not come on anymore.
Oh, no. That is such bad.
Yeah. So, yes, it's cool and unique and not very many people have them, but it's not worth it. And I can't wait to go back to Galaxy.
I understand, because what? Breaking my screen? When I'm just flipping it, what it's supposed to do? Oh, that would irritate me so bad.
So it has like a little screen when the phone is closed. That part was still working, but when you opened it, nothing happened on here. This was just disconnected, so I could still use my phone from this little tiny one, but still, what's the point?
Yeah, what's the purpose?
So, no. Don't do it. The hot new trends are not always worth it. Do you have any other tips for balancing life? Do you set aside a specific time of day that's just schoolwork, or do you just fit it in where you can?
I'm glad you asked that. So I like to get my schoolwork done early as I can, just so I can have time throughout the day to go to the gym, and I have to cook for my husband. So I like to go ahead and do all I can. And then I like to study at night. You know, just having a book open, just going over a couple of things, it makes you remember like some stuff. But yes, I like having a schedule, but most of my work get done in the morning. I feel like that's the best time, where you're wide awake, getting your coffee or whatever you like to drink and just getting it done.
Oh, I agree. The amount of times that I've tried to do studying at night and I'm woken up by my husband like, hey, like just face planted in my laptop or something like, hey, you good?
I know. It's so easy to just nod off at night because it's already dark. You are under your cover. Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Do you have a funny or wild on-the-job story that you want to share?
Let's see. Okay, so it was a new veterinarian. We're going to call her Sandy. It was a Sunday, and Sundays are usually slow. But we had a dog coming, and Sandy, she just does rabies, all the vaccines, no major surgeries or anything. So we get the dog, and we're checking the eyes. I'm just holding the dog. And Sandy was just like, is this a worm? So me and my coworker, we were like, where's the worm? I'm checking under his butt. I'm like, I'm thinking because she's thinking, talking about a tapeworm, but she was looking in the eyes. And so we were looking in the eyes, and it was just, you know how the blood vessels. I was like, Dr. Sandy, that's just a blood vessel, because we were all in a panic, just thinking like, it's a worm in his eye? What? But no, after just looking at it, we're like, it's just a blood vessel. But that was really crazy.
Yeah.
Because we was just in a panic. But no reason.
Well, because, you know, there are those times that the heartworm has migrated and been found at it. And so that was the first thing I went to, is this dog had a heartworm in his eye, but I'm glad it didn't.
Yes. We was just in a panic. We were like, what? She was a new doctor. So it wasn't anybody there, but just us. So we was just looking and looking, and it was just a pop blood vessel, which I was glad to hear.
Yeah. I think a wild thing that I have to share is I saw a long-haired Frenchie the other day. Yeah. Do you know the term Wolbachia, that bacteria that comes from when you are treating heartworm disease? The one that they prescribe doxycycline to help keep that down so they don't go into anaphylactic shock. But anyway.
Right.
I feel like that is what this dog looked like. Like he would be called Wolbachia. He was so, so wild. Let me see. I think I had one of the girls send me a picture. I'd like to show it.
Yes.
You're not even going to know what you see. Here it is.
It's really long-haired. Oh my gosh. But I hate to say it is cute.
It is a wild looking. He's got like a mane and.
It's like a tiger mixed with a Frenchie.
Yep.
Oh my goodness.
And they've now had a breed of puppies. So I'm interested to see how many of them take up the long hair.
Oh gosh. That is crazy. We see some crazy stuff.
I also recently saw a miniature English bulldog.
How does that work?
Oh, there is apparently a breeder in town that is now making miniature versions of them, as if maybe they didn't have enough problems being this big.
Thinking about all the health issues. Oh, gosh.
Let me tell you, it was supposed to be lilac colored, but there wasn't a lick of hair on this dog. It was so alopecia. So I'm like, lilac where?
Oh God!
Best of luck. Get your pet insurance. That's all I'm gonna say.
Please, please get the pet insurance, because those bills. Oh, oof, oof.
It's not for me.
No, not me.
So I also have for us our next review, which is going to be Mr. Krabs.
Oh, man.
Smell. Drink the smell.
And it's not actually a review. I got it off of a, like, what's happening Facebook page for my area. And I'm so sorry about this. You're not even gonna... I'm just gonna go ahead. This may be a long shot, but I'm looking for a vet who can pop some anal glands on my dog on the side so I don't have to pay a huge vet bill. Vomit emoji. And I do have a response here that I also would like to share that someone trying to help. They said, take your dog for a swim twice a day for 3 days to take care of the anal gland. So it got worse, is what my point was.
Oh, guys, rescue the dog.
So, we're popping anal glands in the first place, which I feel like is the worst way to explain that. Please don't say that.
No.
And then you're asking a veterinarian who, on their off time, do it so that you don't have to pay a vet fee to get it done. A groomer can do that for you if you wanted to. A vet tech can do that for you without a doctor's fee, technician fee or whatever. And if you take them for a swim twice a day for 3 days, it'll just
what?
Go away. Pop on its own.
I don't understand. How does that work? I would really like to know what they thought was going to happen with that solution.
How aggressive of a swim does it need to be? Is it can be like a kiddie pool in the backyard, or are we talking like a full on no feet touching the ground swim?
That's what I'm thinking. A marathon swim. Just to kick those back legs extra hard. Oh, gosh, rescue the dog.
These are people that live near me, so. like I said, it's a local Facebook page up in our area. So now when I'm in my nearest store, I'm going to be thinking, are you the one who needs anal glands stopped, or are you the one who takes your dog for swims to get him released? Like, which one are
you, guys?
I don't know, man.
That's bad. That one was bad.
I don't know right out here.
I don't know which one's worse. Patrick or Mr. Krabs?
We're at a tie right now, aren't we?
We are. Oh, Megan.
I'll have another one, so, you know, we'll have to see which one winds up winning. So how do you think that vet students can best support each other when it comes to school or at work or that kind of?
We can lean on each other for everything. It could be like note sharing, study guides, groups, sending messages like before an exam or just going to work. Like, I hope you have a good day. Good luck on your exam. Because I feel like the vet community, we are so loving. I just feel like we know it could get hard, especially with patients and then the clients talking to the client. It could get hard. So being our own team player, you just form this little family.
Yeah, you're right. So the amount of toxicity that is also in the veterinary field makes me really sad, because I think we are all on the same team. It's about to be a competition. We're all aiming for the same goals here, like, help each other and don't put each other, you know, it's not helping anybody. Everybody's got their own struggles. Like, you might have just came out of a room with a difficult client or a pet that got bad news. And then you have Susie in the corner that just like left the room in a train wreck, expecting someone else to pick up after her. And you're like, why can't we all just be working together?
Yeah, I haven't had that experience, but I know when we was in tech school, it was a lot of competition. And I was like, we're all learning the same thing, but everybody just felt like they had to be better. You know, I had some experience, but it was techs in there. They've been working in emergencies and they thought they know everything. And it killed me. I could see him get real catty, for real.
I remember starting out, and this is 20 years ago, as a kennel. I was really interested in learning the ins and outs of the medical side of things. And I remember asking questions and the lead tech just not having the time to answer it. Like, it was annoying to her that I wanted to know how to do it. And it's like, it's get snack ECHO or something along those lines. Like, it's have the nerve to ask me that. And so that's why I'm thankful for the place I work now. I had really great mentors there. The doctors are very helpful. There's a couple of CBTs there that are also really helpful that have been through the tests and stuff. I can go to them and ask questions like, hey, I'm not really understanding this question and why this is the answer. Can you maybe help break it down for me? But if it had been the place where I started out at, I don't think I would have had that same support.
My gosh. And you know what? That's why a lot of people leave veterinary medicine, not just because of the workload and the burnout, but they leave because of the people around them. And I hate that. Because like you said, we're all supposed to be together. We're all trying to do the same thing, help animals. That's what we're here to do. All the extraness, they can leave that at the door.
Yeah, that's not helping anybody.
Exactly. At all. I cannot stand the bullies. I can't stand it either.
What are some misconceptions that you think people might have about vet tests?
Let's see. I guess the biggest misconception is we don't do anything. Like, we just sit around.
We just hold the dog for the doctor and the dumpster when they can.
We are more than just playing with puppies. We do the x-rays, the ultrasound, taking the blood. We're literally the nurses of the veterinary medicine world. We do everything, you know? So it kind of hurts when people come in and be like, oh, you don't do nothing anyway, because it's crazy.
I think to me the misconception is that we are not as knowledgeable as the veterinarian. So when you go in and you take the history, it's like, everything's fine. There's nothing to tell you. My dog doesn't get into anything. And then the veterinarian comes in and they're like, hey, what'd your dog get into? And they're like, a ham. He ate a whole ham. But I just got back from telling the doctor that you called me.
Yeah, you know, concerns.
You don't know. Yeah, not always vomiting. So in their mind, I wasn't capable to process that information or relay it to the doctor for him. And so now he comes in and he's like, a whole ham, huh? And you're like,
like, just looking at the corner like, what? Now you're making it seem like I don't know what I'm doing. I can't say. I just did a TikTok on there. And they'll come up with all the things that you asked them doing the medical history. And, oh, nothing. It's fine. As soon as you try to step foot in there, there it goes. They're just blabbering, saying all the things.
I also like if they ask me a question and I answer it for them, then when the doctor comes in the room, they ask them, this is the verisimilitudinis.
You're going to get sad.
As long as we're on the same page here. I wasn't trying to trick you.
We're not trying to set you up, I promise.
So that's also another misconception.
That's a big one too.
Have you have any experience with burnout, or do you have a self-care routine that you use that helps keep you on top of your own game?
Yes, I've experienced burnout. Oh gosh, when I was working full-time before I started for my pre-vet, I guess just waking up. And you ever seen that SpongeBob episode when Squidward had the new house and he kept doing the same thing over and over and over again? That's what it felt like to me. And it just made me feel like, do I want to do this for the rest of my life? But then when I took a step back and started doing part-time, it makes you realize like, okay, it wasn't that bad. You know, it definitely sneaks up on you. So especially if you're juggling school and clinicals and stuff like that. For my self-care, I love going to the gym. I love going to the gym. Shout out to my husband because he really got me out of that funk. It was like, you just need something else to do other than work. And I was like, you know what? You're right. So I took time and I want the big arms. I want to look like She-Hulk. So that's been keeping me motivated and keeping me in the gym. And that's always like, you know, my why.
There is somebody I have followed for a while. Her name is Michelle McDaniel. She has a YouTube channel called My Thoughts Will Probably Offend You. And she's like a very buff woman. She's funny and she's very muscular. I highly encourage you to go check her
out. Oh, definitely will. I love watching the gym influencers. I do. Oh, yeah. I have to follow her. Is she on TikTok or is she on YouTube?
She is also on TikTok, but
Yeah, her YouTube channel is My Thoughts Will Probably Offend You. And then I think her TikTok is Michelle McDaniel.
Perfect. I love it. I love it.
You can slam her too.
Do she post some of her workout videos?
She has a lot of her content on YouTube is her workout videos. She also does like Ross hauls where she's like, I pay this much at Ross for this. And she'll like try it on and tell you, this outfit is good for these kind of movements, but you can't do these kind of movements. And she is pretty cool content. I like that a lot.
Love that. I love that.
I like that you use the gym as a nice way for self-care. I keep telling myself I'm going to get better and do it. And I always have the excuse because I work two jobs. Oh, yeah. I'm going to school and then I have the podcast. So my days are pretty full. I keep saying when I can finally get school off my plate, I'll use that as my chance to go. But, you know. I can't keep putting it.
Working two jobs, that's something already because we're standing up and walking around anyway, especially fast paced. So I feel like that's working out, you know?
My problem is I don't want to work two jobs, but I love both of them. My second job is you do specialty with ophthalmology. I know. It's absolutely like the coolest jobs. I see all kinds of things. And so whenever I have the eye questions on VT&E, I know all those things because I see them. And I love that part of the job. And I've learned so many things that even in general practice, as I don't want to say they don't know about eyes because they don't deal with many eyes. We have eye cases come in. The doctors always like to lean on me a little bit, be like, hey, do you see stuff like this over at the eye clinic? What you got for me? So I can help consult on some cases. And I like that a lot. So. I don't want to not do it, but I also know there's only so much time in a year.
That is a lazy.
Melting corneas and stuff like that. It's crazy. Things that you don't see in regular practice.
Yes. See, and that's why I want to work in like different clinics, you know, just to see some of that. Because we don't get too many bad surgeries, you know, or bad emergencies. I know it sounds exciting, but it's really bad. But I want to see that. I want to experience that, you know.
I, for a while, tried to branch out and do emergency medicine, too, because that's also way different from general practice. Mm-hmm. But if I am available on Sundays, I don't want to pull away from my other jobs to do it. But then I know for sure I'm opening myself up to burnout if I take away filing. Yeah.
The only day, your only free day. Yeah.
But I want to try everything, you know?
Me too. I've wanted to do emergency, but that's like I'm nervous. Cause I just know it's going to be on 10 every time. I'm like, stat. Yeah.
I don't want to know how I do it. And that's the first time I am probably going to be in a corner crying. But after that one time, I think it'll be okay. I need the chance so I can
just know in those situations, but I hate feeling panic sometimes. Oh gosh, that feeling is just a crazy feeling.
Do you have any mentors or role models you wanted to shout out that are kind of helping?
I have mentors. I like to shout out Dr. Brandon. He's an older vet, but I like the way he just teaches me things as well. Older vets, they like to take their time. They'll tell you exactly how to do it from this point to that point. And he was a really good doctor. He's gone now. He retired.
Gone. Oh, okay. Don't know my account.
Gosh, no.
That's just a dark turn. I was a wreck. Okay, good. Retired.
Yes, he retired. I should have said that. Oops. But he was good. You meet a lot of people, but Dr. Brandon, I will always remember him. And of course, my teachers when I was in vet tech school.
Did you take those classes in person?
Yes, I did. Oh, Dr. Hope, she was a great, great mentor and licensed veterinarian technician. Her name was DJ. She was very stern, but I like stern because I don't know why I like stern. I just like to just give it to me straight.
I can understand that. I had a mentor that was
kind of stern, and I think I thrived really well under him.
Which one do we want to do next? This one is from Maryland. This veterinary hospital, and it's going to be Mrs.
Poe. What have I done? Everyone will know that I let him slide through school. I'll have to move to a new city, start a new boating school with a new name.
It's a 1-star review. I called for medical records. I was told, sure, can I place you on hold? And waited for 30 minutes. At the 30-minute mark, I Googled their hours and saw they closed at 6 p.m. Nobody came back to the phone. Poor work ethic. Imagine that before you put your pet's health in their hands, know that they're going to be gone.
I don't know about discipline. Oh my goodness.
You know how people exaggerate? Did you call at 5:58 and they were like, let me put you on hold for a second? And then first of all, they should have put you on hold and then left if that's how they did it. But also, why are you calling that place right before they close? That's like those people that run into like a Dollar General and be like, I got 10 minutes.
Like, we're trying to...
People trying to live.
Because we have so much work to do in the back. We have to clean. We have to prep for tomorrow. You know, I feel like people don't understand that. Like, yes, we understand your dog or your cat needs help. But please, just do it in the right hours. Mm-hmm. Like, we're trying to...
Respectful of everybody's time.
Exactly.
Mrs. Puff, you know better.
Why would you do that, Miss Puff?
I'm coming to your driving school. She was a driving school. I'm coming to your driving school the day before my driving exam, and I'm going to tell you, I need you to teach me everything about driving today. That she's going to be like, but I leave. No, you don't. No, you.
You're going to stay here. You stay here until I say, oh.
Right. I think that's the problem of not being self-aware. Maybe not self-aware is not the right word. But when you're not aware of anyone else's time to own, I don't want to say selfish on purpose, but you forget that you're not the main character. You know what I mean? We're all NPCs. There is no main character here. You know what I mean? Like, let's not all drop everything for you. That's not fair because they also have people they need to get home. It's waiting on them, so they just left me on hold. Win more.
I'm sorry, Mrs. Puff. I would have did the same thing, especially if it was a long day.
Firmly grasp it in your hand. Huh. Firmly grasp it. Firmly grasp it.
Moving forward. Do you have a dream role or specialization that you're aiming to get into after you become?
I would love to do animal behavior. And like we had talked about before, I want to work with exotic animals. I wanted to do a sea lion trainer at the aquarium. That's what I really want to do. I really want to do that.
That's a wonderful goal to have. I hope that it works out for you. Do you have some resources or advice for someone considering a path in this field, whether it's as a technician or whether it's as a...
Be ready for the unexpected and be ready to work hard because you'll fall in love with parts of the field that you didn't even expect. You know, I advise you to shadow people. Don't be afraid to ask questions and please don't compare your journey to anybody else's. There's no right way to get into veterinary medicine. If you love animals and you know that's what you want to do, just do it. Just do it. That's my advice.
Great. Oh, I like that.
Thanks.
And for anybody with the VTNE coming up, do you have particular study advice or any test-taking advice?
This is my realm. First, follow me on that Vet Girl Official on YouTube. I have a video. But I advise to start early, break it down into small chunks, and use multiple resources. Like it's this book called Review of Veterinarian Technicians. And they have a code that you can actually do. And you can take practice tests as many times as you want. You could do flashcards on there. I really love that book. And honestly, you only need really one book. I have that on my YouTube channel as well. So if you want to check that out, Yeah, go ahead and follow me there. My favorite is to take breaks. You're not going to learn everything in one day. Take your breaks and don't burn yourself out by cramming. And if you know something, be confident. Be confident in what you know, because you learn more than what you think you do.
I think sometimes when I take some practice questions, I first read the question and I tell myself, I don't know this answer. But then I stop for a second and I look and I'm like, oh, I do know.
It's always that initial panic first.
Yeah, and I'm lying to myself.
It's always like
the panic set in before the actual answer sets in.
And that's normal. It's normal because I've done it twice. So that panic, it will never go away, but you have to just breathe. And like you said, take a step back, reread the question, reread the answers, and you got it. You got it. Always choose the best answer and do not go back and change your answer, because I'm pretty sure when you change it, it's going to be wrong. 9 times out of 10.
Trust your gut. Your gut knows.
Your gut knows.
I have a 5-question pop quiz for you today.
Let me see how I do.
All right.
What does the abbreviation TPR stand for in veterinary medicine?
Ooh, this is so hard. No, let's do temp. Then we got your pulse. And then we got respiration, y'all.
There you go. Which of the following species does not vomit? Dog, cat, horse.
I'm going to go with horse.
But number 3, what is a healthy dog or cat's normal capillary refill time? Is it less than 5 seconds, 2 to 3 seconds, or 1 to 2?
I'm going to go with 1 to 2 seconds.
Great, John. All right.
Pat myself on the back.
Now, these last 2 are bonus questions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
What is the name of the vet tech's most favorite tool, according to no studies ever done? Are you ready? A hemostat, coffee, a thermometer.
Coffee.
Yes.
We need that. We need that to be up and going.
We're not getting through a day without it.
Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if you want creamer in it, you want it straight. Just give me something.
And now, number 5. What is the actual function of scrubs with lots of pockets? To hide snacks, gloves, or possibly a crying technician? A fashion statement, or none? They are just there to get covered in fur and mystery stains.
Can I go with all of the above?
I'm going for hide snacks and possibly a crying take. True story. One of the girls that I work with, she does put snacks in her pocket, but I mean like unwrapped Cheez-Its just in her pocket. And she says that it's her washed clothes. And she's like, it's just lint in there. It's not a big deal. And I've met another lady at the other place I worked where she just had free gummies, like fruit snacks in her pocket, just and be like, do you want a fruit snack? And like, no, I don't. You not. I'm not picking the lint off a fruit snack to eat. So pocket snacks if they're cut.
Only if they're covered. My goodness. Because you know what else could fall in pockets?
Yeah.
I do. I see it. So where can our listeners
find me? You can find me on TikTok and on YouTube at That Vet Girl Official. I do lifestyle content as well. And I'm doing VTNE content on both of my pages.
Wonderful. And so we also have an AI song that we're going to put at the end of the episode. He went ahead and let you pick the genre and what you wanted the song to be about. So you already got up and get yourself up.
I loved it. I almost cried. Listen to it. For real. It was so good. So me.
Good. I was like, this juicy. Right?
It was right.
All right, guys. I want to thank you for joining us today. If you look in our show notes, you will also find our social media handles for Let's Talk About Pets. Otherwise, that's all I got for you today. Enjoy our AI song. Let's thank Miss Aaliyah for being on our podcast today. Oh, follow her and learn things. She is a great teacher. Otherwise, we'll see you next time. Bye. Days,
with a smile on her face.
grinding hard like it's the last dance, and teaching the girls how to pass. And when we pass the VT and me, and we're VTs, she said, girl, follow me. She said, do it like Aaliyah, I wanna do it like Aaliyah. She said, do it like Aaliyah, I wanna do it like Aaliyah. When I say, I need a break, she say, stop, no way. She says, do it like Aaliyah. And I can't keep up with the pace, and it's easy when she says, do it like Aaliyah. When she says, do it like Aaliyah, she's giving it all she got. She said, meet me at the top. She said, girl, you got this in the bag. When she says, do it like Aaliyah. Do it like Aaliyah. She said, do it like Aaliyah. When she says, do it like Aaliyah. When I said I had it in the bag, and she said, meet me at the top. And she said, girl, you got this in the bag. And it's easy when she says,
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.